Blog Talk Radio.
All of these lines across my face tell you the story of who I am. So many stories of where I've been, and now I got to where I am. But these stories don't mean anything when you've got no one to tell them to. It's true, I was made for you. I climbed across the mountain tops, swam all across the ocean blue, across the
take down your Christmas tree.
but I know that I never will. The writing lover was his lady, and she did not know his mind. But Billy took the dachshund to the top for the last time, and that's when they were a drunk on. Take a right at the graveyard and a left over at the ghetto. Well, climb up to West Rock and gonna take all of our clothes off. Lucinda had her head down, braiding her hair so she could not see that William had his eyes closed, heading straight for a tree, and that's when they were drunk on. Cut the wheel on banana peels, they're going straight into a skid. Shut off the motor, they're going straight off of the rig. They hit hard like a broken one, and Lucinda, she was dead. He climbed back up to the top, and this is what he said. He said, why do I have to stay here?
That was Bill Jocko by Mark Mulcahy, and he's a fantastic musician, songwriter, and he also writes songs for plays. Check him out. I don't even know if he's got a website, actually, but if you just look up Mulcahy, M-U-L-C-A-H-Y, you'll find all kinds of stuff by him. So, and before that was Brandi Carlile, The Story. And, okay, so welcome, you guys, to Supernatural. I'm like, where are we? We're at Supernatural Radio Show is where we are. And after a series of cancellations from my former guest, I am lucky enough to have Chris from Curious Times on tonight doing readings. And she has done readings before. She's very intuitive. She's very psychic, even though she would disagree with that statement. But we're gonna, we're gonna give her the old heave ho here and throw her into the ring. So I think she'll do phenomenal. She's done fantastic in the past. So let me tell you a little bit about Chris, if you guys don't know who she is already. She's the host of the popular BTR show Curious Times, and has been broadcasting almost nightly since July of 2011. With over 4,000 broadcast hours, she's become a producer and advisor for other radio shows in the past few years, and she's learned much from the many guests, callers, and listeners, including the skills and to honing psychic ability. She mostly uses her life experience and knowledge of behavior together with her intuition to provide guidance to those who call on her for help. And I have witnessed this many times in my own life. A born advocate, she has worked in the labor and education sectors as a negotiator, organizer, worker representative, and student advocate and advisor. Since taking a break from the corporate world and starting her radio show, she has also obtained certification as a life coach and Reiki master teacher and has studied psychic development, chakras, and aura reading. You can catch Curious Times every single night at 10 p.m. Eastern Standard Time. And Chris has all sorts of wonderful guests on continuously. Also, new guests. It's just a wonderful format, great chat room. So with all that, we're going to bring Chris on. Hello, Chris.
Hello. How are you doing? I just wanted to assure everybody here that everybody will be getting their money's worth tonight.
That's right. Now, you can say that every single night, right?
Indeed. Well, some shows, you know, that bleed money out of their listeners, you know what I mean? Those shows you don't get your money's worth from, but, you know. I promise everybody here that you'll get exactly what you paid for. You won't be ripped off.
Anyway, so, you know, about an hour ago, I was listening to another show on BTR, and they were talking about psychic abilities and how do you get them. And, you know, I mean, of course, we both know, all of us know here listening, we all have psychic abilities. In fact, I personally, my belief is that we start out totally knowing and then we unlearn as we grow up. What's your idea of what psychic ability is, Chris?
Well, it's not so different than most other people's. I guess that it's just that it manifests differently for everybody. And so some people are really lucky in that they're fully aware of what's coming in as a message. You know what I mean? What they're getting as psychic versus, you know, just when you're sort of claircog or, you know, just innately psychic and always have been, then it might not be all that. And let's say that you haven't really you haven't really understood yourself to be psychic in that sense of things, then you don't know when it's on and off, you know, like some people, as an example, have like a near-death experience, or they'll get a head injury or something like this. And all of a sudden, overnight, you know, suddenly they'll start to see something or hear something or whatever. And so then, therefore, they know, you know, when they're being psychic versus, you know, when they're just having a conversation with somebody. With me, there's a really good chance that every single thing that I say is psychic.
Right.
You know, like that. In other words, I'm having a conversation and I have no way of knowing what's coming through as channeled versus what's just my own, you know, my own stuff. Except, you know, I mean, there's certain times if I'm talking to you about, you know, something, like if I started talking labor relations with you, you know what I mean? But there's times, even when I think back to when I was negotiating or, you know, developing strategy on a picket line or things like this, that I was actually being psychic. I was knowing what they were going to do, and I was anticipating what was going to happen. And, you know, I just had a feeling of how things were going to, you know, shake down. And so, but, you know, I mean, I wasn't like paying attention to that part because I was busy being a rebel rouser, you know what I mean? And so psychic, you know, psychic ability is, you know, something that we all have in varying degrees. And it's just that some of us have an easier time of knowing, you know, telling the difference between our own information versus something that we're receiving from the spirit world or from the universe.
Right. So, you know, and it really is a matter of trusting what you think is coming from your soul, so to speak, because, like, you know, we were talking the other night, and, you know, I do, Chris, I try to put out, I try to test myself about my abilities. And, you know, you said something like, well, you know, it's disheartening when you get a couple things wrong and then you just want to give up. But how do, you know, it's an age-old question, I suppose. How do we know what to trust? Because let's face it, schizophrenics also get messages.
Yeah.
So how do we know who we're getting the message from and what to trust?
Okay, so first things first, some people that are being diagnosed schizophrenic, I'm not so convinced, aren't just psychic and being immediate, you know, that they're channeling something through. And so I think that there's some people probably that are misdiagnosed. So number one. Number two, the common prevailing theory is that, you know, first is that you would set your intent that, you know, only those from the good side, the light side, you know, the good guys can get through. And so you're not opening yourself up to the dark entities out there. Lots of people will talk, though, about still, even with mediumship, that spirits will come in and masquerade as somebody's grandfather, and they're just up to no good and all of this kind of stuff. Theoretically, though, you know, if you're receiving bad messages, negativity, and I don't just mean that, no, you're not going to get that job on Thursday, they're going to call you and say sorry that they found somebody else, you know. That's not negative. That's not what I mean when I say negative, though it's not the answer you want to hear. But what I mean is, you know, like full of dark negative, you know, oh, beware because, you know, you're going to be, you know, attacked, you know, blah, blah, by the spirits and blah, you're under psychic attack, you know, this kind of crazy. If you're getting all this negative, dark kind of stuff, then it could be your ego, or B, it's bad energies coming through. And in my opinion, anything I say is just my opinion. You know what I mean? I do not pretend to be the authority or anyone that knows anything. I only can say what I feel. And I can say, though, that, you know, I had a lot of ideas even as a youngster and thoughts that I would just think over in my mind, you know, that I hear this many years later some of the top people talking about, or, you know, get validated somehow. And, you know, these are things that I didn't arrive at that opinion because I listened to somebody on VTR because they had a big name. It was stuff that I had already chewed upon and thought through in my own mind, you know. And when I was young, I did that a lot. Like, I didn't really talk to anybody about this stuff, but I'm a deep thinker. And so, you know, I'm always wondering. Sometimes I wonder out loud, but I'm always wondering.
Yes. Well, that's good, because I think it's important to always wonder and question what you're being told and what you're experiencing. However, there's a degree where you have to kind of let go and trust as well. You can't think things, you know, to depth. You know what I mean?
No, absolutely. But the thing is like, okay, so somebody's in the chat room saying, you know, practice with friends and family. And that's exactly great advice. However, for me, I struggle with, like, well, what I already know about a person, you know what I mean? And so then that doesn't validate nothing for me, you know what I mean? If I know somebody so well and I'm kind of like, oh, I think they're going to, you know, whatever, blah, blah, and like then that to me is just me kind of knowing that person, having a good handle on how they are most likely to react in certain circumstances, you know, just from knowing them. So in a way, like I kind of, for my own personal validation, like it's better if it's coming from people that I don't know, or I'm touching upon areas of a person that I know that I shouldn't know about. You know, like we were taught playing games recently and you know, saying, well, does this mean, what about this name or that name? And it's not that I'm worried about being wrong and then I quit. It's the exact opposite. If I get two rights, then I want to quit while I'm ahead. I get two yeses and I'm like, okay, thanks.
I know, really.
And so for me, it's really the struggle of, you know, the left brain, right brain thing, never really being that sure that what I'm saying isn't like just my own opinion or my ego, you know, getting in the way, right?
Right.
Like,
right.
If you ask me about love,
and
I'm going to tell you it's not going to work out. But, you know, most relationships don't these days. You know what I mean?
You got a 50-50 shot of anything,
if
really.
That,
well, not
yeah,
anything.
If that,
but,
yeah.
But, you know, the other day I was at my cousin's house, and there was a guy named Danny there, and then another guy named Eddie came in afterwards. So I was trying to read Danny because I didn't know anything about Danny, and I was really getting a lot right. And then I tried with Eddie, and I couldn't, there was nothing. I was, like, totally off. And I'm maybe using this as an excuse, but Eddie was really drugged out, right? So I'm like, can this block you reading them, this type of stuff?
Well, I think, you know, I think that they can block it too, you know. But I think sometimes, Corinne, that what can happen is that there's something subconsciously with people like you and me particularly. We aren't confident with our ability or anything like that, you know. Is that, like, if we've come off like you had the first person and you were bang, 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 bang. Now you're like, you're feeling the pressure to be right about everything for the other guy now all of a sudden, you know? And so then if you're aware or not aware, you might be having the right info, but dismissing it or changing it, you know, to make more sense to you or to, you know, whatever it is, hey? And like right. I used to do this thing, which is like, well, reverse psychology. I'm making up new words every day. So, like, reverse psychology. So, like, if you're gonna, if you're gonna ask me, you know, what color is somebody's truck, and I'm first thing that comes to my mind is blue, I'm gonna say red instead, because I'm not right. You know what I mean? So that
right.
I can already dismiss blue as being right. Blue is going to be wrong because it was the first thing that came to my mind. So I'm going to go with red then, you know? And so then there's that, you know, and I'll go, and how many times does it happen to us where we do get a first thought in our mind and then we second guess ourselves, we give a different answer and it turns out that it was in the first place correct, you know?
Exactly. Yeah.
It also happens for me that I get an idea in my mind and then I get another thought and then I go back to the first one and dismiss the second one. The second one was right. You know what I mean? So for me, I still have to really figure out, you know, and I'm really trying hard, you know, because other than somebody saying yes or no, I'm right or wrong, I'd like to have confidence that I'm fully aware that the information I'm about to speak is coming not from me, you know? That it's coming from, you know, from being from a vision or from a, you know, from some psychic ability and not just from me. And rather than waiting for the yes or no, because with some of this stuff, we don't get the validation, you know. And then people even like how many people don't even know their own families, you know. They don't even know their cousin, you know. I don't know all my cousins' names. I do not know all of my cousins' names. I hardly know any of my family. So a medium could very well be right if they told me that I had a cousin called, you know, Joseph who blah, blah, blah. And I wouldn't have any idea. How do I know?
Mm-hmm.
So I can't validate them, you know?
Right. And Dolores is bringing up a good point here, too. She says, interpretations of symbols can be different. So tell the person the symbol instead of trying to interpret that. That's a really good point.
I'm a big advocate of that.
Yeah, so we might see something like, oh, my God, what's this pickle doing here? You know what I mean? But, you know, it's just, you know, and that's a really good point. I often don't think about that kind of stuff.
I really advocate that. But then there are those who go and they take their formal training And, you know, they work through a spirit guide so that their spirit guide is already filtering whatever the spirit guide's getting from the universe. And then they're passing it on to the psychic. And then the psychic is further filtering it. And so you're getting really, you know, and in those cases, they're saying like, okay, you know, like that, if my guide symbol for elephant is, you know, Disney, whatever, you know what I mean? And like, mm-hmm. for me, that still doesn't work. You know, I would much rather that the person just says, you know, purple elephant. I don't know why I'm seeing a purple polka dot elephant, you know, but that's what I'm seeing. And instead of trying to figure out what it means, and then you miss it altogether because you let's say you think that it means, you know, big ears equals good hearing, oh, blah, blah, you know, some stupid thing. And it really, it was said that their favorite toy when they were a kid was a purple elephant or something stupid, you know?
Right, right, right. Yeah, I agree.
I would always rather, and even if a medium is reading for me, I would rather if they just told me what the purely what they're seeing and not what they think about what they're seeing. You know?
Yeah, yeah. Yeah, me too. And of course, with you, Chris Valerie, being who you are, you strive to be genuine every minute of the day. So that's why I think that I kind of a little bit had to drag you, and I didn't really have to drag that hard, but you know what I'm saying, because you don't want to appear like you're disingenuous. And you know, having had so many shows over the past few years, you have seen disingenuous people. You know what I mean? So, and it's bothersome. And we could go off onto that subject for a whole show, but we're not going to do that. But I mean, so you want to be genuine, and you want to impart knowledge or information that is actually going to help someone. I mean, that's what it's all about, being a psychic, being a medium. It's all about touching people's souls, you know, giving them faith, and reaffirming life, really. That's what it's all about. So,
well, you know, when I host my show, I mostly take the back seat and I become the button pusher. But as you know, because you've been a regular listener for a really long time, there's times when I butt in and put my two cents. And sometimes that's because I have experience in what they're dealing with. You know, so if it's resume this or interview that or whatever, so I'm coming at it from the employment counselor angle. But sometimes, like recently, there was a man that called and, you know, he wanted to know if things were going to get better with his girlfriend of 10 years, who's the mother of his child. And then, you know, he was wanting to work towards, you know, repairing things and making sure that she didn't leave him. And then, like, I just couldn't help it. And I just said, like, I waited. And then I said, look, is there one specific thing that she's, you know, complaining to you about? Like, I was just, like, getting this feeling that, and it turned out that it was, yes, that she's always constantly accusing him of cheating or looking at other women or, you know. And so then it was the jealousy thing that was really the problem in the relationship, you know. But, like,
right.
So that's, there's times when I'm piping in. And so I have no doubt that that had to be somewhat psychic for me to know. I didn't get the details in such clarity. But I just was, you know, had this overwhelming need to ask that question, which then led us into at least another 10-minute conversation about, you know, that situation. And so that's how I really run my show. And I often say, and I've had friends of mine talk to me, which is like that, like we just having a conversation on Skype or something. And then I'll say things that you know, like maybe they just did that earlier that day, or like that, or that it would appear to be psychic, but it's just in the course of having that conversation. And so again, for me, I used to say, like, you know, just tell me what is your biggest issue and what are you dealing with it, and then let's talk about the situation. And in a way, that's more coaching, and that's probably more like intuitive coaching than being a psychic, you know? But
right.
it's tough for me if somebody comes and just says, you know, and I'm willing to try this, you know, okay, well, I had an interview Tuesday, and will I get the job, you know? Those questions kind of irritate me because, you know, and they said I had an interview Tuesday, and they said they're going to call Friday, and, you know, it's Thursday now, right? Am I going to get the job? Like, what difference is it going to make whatever answer I give you right now? Because you're going to get the call tomorrow, you know, or even if it's going to be next week. You know, like
right.
What? Like, I don't get that. I don't understand how their life is being enhanced or helped in any way, especially since most of the psychics on BTR have about a 50% chance of being right, whether they say yes or no. You know what I mean? And and then we never necessarily hear back from them for the validation.
Right.
So almost the only time we can get validation is if we're doing mediumship then. And even then, because of what I said earlier, which is that too many people don't know their families and their family trees as well as they think they do, that, you know, there's a good chance that there's lots of good stuff being exchanged, but the validation hasn't been provided by, you know, by the caller. So, but I'm willing
all
to
right.
try those things more and more. You know, you've been around a little bit, and I'd be like tossing, like today when I was starting to try to focus, and I did a little, you know, third eye thing, all that kind of stuff. And so I got the name Jacob came to me. So I don't know if somebody that we're going to talk to tonight is going to have any meaning to them. And then for some silly reason, and I don't know if the first caller is already hung up, for example, because it's kind of hard, but maybe the first caller on air is like, I just had this thing to and I wrote it down, which is like, somebody's irritating you, like there's something about somebody close to you that's really irritating to you that you're just like not talking to them about, and you keep on being more and more aggravated by it, but you're too afraid to speak out about it or whatever, you know what I mean? So I had
right.
I wrote that down, so I don't know if we'll find out whether that's right or not. I don't know if the first caller that's in your queue is the first caller or if that person already might have hung up or what, but it doesn't really matter because, you know, life and death isn't hanging in the balance here. You
right.
have a Jacob that passed. So there's
Jacob
that passed, and okay. Jacob has been coming to Angie for days also. So I could be thinking of the name Jacob for that reason because of Angie, or, you know, that, or for both of those reasons, because that's how the universe works, right? Is that there's a lot of times where something has meaning for more than one person for different reasons. And so that the synergy brings it all together at one stop shopping kind of a thing. So, but like Jacob's not a name that I ever come up with. You know what I mean? Like Jacob is not a name I say every day. I don't even know any Jacobs. I don't know anybody that knows any Jacobs, that I'm aware of, you know what I mean? And so,
yeah.
It just occurred to me that Alicia worked, I think, you know, but anyhow, but anyway, there might be some, but I don't think that's the connection. It was a name, a first name of somebody. So there's, you know,
right.
a Jacob that has passed. And when did, so let me just think about that for a second, okay? Let me just think about
mm-hmm.
that for a second.
Sure.
Okay. And so I'm not really thinking that this Jacob is for that person in the chat room. I'm not really mm-hmm. thinking that this Jacob is like a family member. Is it true as it could be a past boyfriend or a friend or something, like, but not a relative, a blood relative is what I'm meaning to say. Is it a blood relative or no? I don't think it's a blood relative. And so I don't know. They're on a delay. They're on a delay, so she won't hear that
mm-hmm.
for a second. But so that I just want to see. I'd like interested in her answer on that. If she's going to answer.
Yeah.
But anyway, and I know that you're going to join in this shindig. And
yeah, if I pick up anything, I'm certainly going to throw it out there.
Okay, so let's.
Mia says good, not me then.
Okay, so that means it's a. Does that mean it's a relative of yours, Mia? Your Jacob is a relative. That your Jacob that passed.
We'll see. Yeah.
Is a relative. Okay. Okay. Well, it doesn't. What do you mean? There's nothing to be relieved of because they've already passed, right? Like, it's nothing to be relieved of. So.
I just want to quickly mention this. I mean, most people in the chat know this, but I had a show a couple weeks ago, and Chris actually, in listening to the show in archive, found an EVP, which is really freaking cool. And so in terms of that, the EVP said my name, but in the wrong way, because we were making all these jokes about Corinne and Corinne. But it was a very clear EVP and very cool. And then later that same night, I was at Chris's show. And this is why I think that our loved ones on the other side can definitely help us with readings. So, you know, for instance, I think that that was my mother or my aunt that was saying my name. I'm not sure. I've yet to ask Renee about that. I wanted to ask Renee about that. But so later on that night, I gave a reading to some guy, a new listener to Curious Times, who I didn't know anything about. But I amazed myself, and I'm like, what the hell? You know what I mean? I'm like, this is like wild. But this is why I think my mother was hanging around, and she was kind of giving me the information. You know what I mean?
Right, right.
So it's just interesting where we get our information from. And I now I know why people are so fond of spirit guides, because, yeah, maybe we all do need a couple spirit guides, at least one. And I don't know who mine is. I know I have one, and but I don't know who it is exactly. But do you think you have a spirit guide, Chris?
Well, no, I believe everybody has a spirit guide. I believe that we have more than one guide around us. I believe that before we incarnate, we go to a spirit buddy of ours and we say, hey, what are you doing for the next blink of an eye? I'm thinking of going back down there into a body and, you know, doing a life. And so if you're not doing nothing, would you mind being my guide? And then they would agree or not agree to do that. And so then, and then there's others that will come and go, you know, and provide guidance as well, and maybe even come and stay, but they're not your primary, you know, spirit guide, the one that you chose. And like, what I mean by that is like, sure, I think my grandma's probably around a lot, you know what I mean? And if I was asking my grandma earlier today, like, why don't you work with me? We could be a great team, you know what I mean? And, you know, I want you to come and work with me and help me out with this stuff, you know? And I know that she had a life after death experience. And I know that she used to do, tea leaf reading and had, you know, so for all of those reasons, I believe, you know, that she was psychic herself. And of course, because we've already said that everybody's psychic, but in other words, more aware of her psychic ability. And so like it would, and I've had this just such a bizarre connection to my grandmother, though other than when I was like 2 or 3 years old or something like that, I only met her once in person when I was 25 years old and I spent like a day with her. And, you know, even that night when I left her hotel room after spending the day with her, I cried my eyes out. It was raining. I can still see it. And the windshield wipers were going back and forth and making a racket. And I was crying and knowing that that was going to be the last time I was ever going to see her. And sure enough, you know, sure enough it was. And, you know, I think that it was like less than a year later she, was killed. And so, so my grandma's definitely, that's true too. Raven is reminding me of Raven is reminding me of something that happened during a Skype call with her. But so, no, I'm not doubting in any way that my grandma's around. What I'm looking for from my grandmother, though, is a more open line of communication where I can identify that that's her and get a feel for what her information is versus my information or information from elsewhere, you know? That's what I'm looking for from my grandmother. So, but yeah, guides, everybody has a guide, in my opinion. Everybody has an animal totem. Well, more than one animal totem, but I think everybody has a main animal totem. And but these are just things that I believe. That doesn't mean they're right.
Well, I know, but excuse me. What is, you know, there's a, I always say this. It's from Jesus Christ Superstar, which I love. And I think Pontius Pilate says to Jesus, Jesus says in the play, he says, what is truth? Or no, no, it's you that say I am or something. And so then Pontius says, but what is truth? We all have truth. Is mine the same as yours? No, all of our truths are different. You know what I mean? And it doesn't mean it's any less, of truth or you know what I mean? We all have different truths. So,
right. Well, and you know, I have a theory. You know, I have a theory that I'm kicking around that, you know, the reason that there's so many different varying descriptions of this death experience, you know, the tunnel of the light, the angels, whoever, whatever, a green field, a dark, horrible place with ghouls and goblins and screaming and screeching and reaching out and grabbing at you. And all of these different versions of this death process, this crossing over process, is, you know, that maybe some of it is influenced by what you're expecting it to be. And so there could be as many people as there are, there could be that many, you know, that many correct afterlife, you know. And so if you think there's a hell, maybe there's a hell for you. You know what I mean? There isn't a hell for me.
Oh, I believe, I believe it. You know? I believe that. I think, excuse me, as in like people would argue the point that we create our own reality here or we don't. You know what I mean? Some people feel like a victim all the time. They're like, oh, God, nothing ever good happens to me, so on and so forth. But like Sherry's saying, we make our own hell. And my new boyfriend Chris 1413, who's in the chat room, thanks for being here, Chris.
You need another Chris in your life, right?
But he's saying that after we die, there's a certain point after death, we no longer have the sense of identity that we presently possess. We let go of our lower personality, and most people fear this, of course. I mean, that's why probably some people, when they die, they sit there, they stand there and stare at their body, because it's like, oh, my God, that's my body. It's just your body.
See, and I look forward to it because I know that this person, Chris, like this person, Chris, is just a flash in the pan. I don't mean Chris in the chat room. I mean me.
Right.
You know, and that this body is just like my very first car was a rusted out old 1964 Ford Fairlane, you know, and so that was just like my first vehicle. This body is just one of however many different vehicles my soul or my spirit has used over its existence. And so I look forward to getting rid of me. I look forward to getting rid of me and meeting myself. You know what I mean? Getting rid of me and meeting myself, meeting who my higher self and who I really am. And so that's why I say everybody focuses so much on Cleopatra, let's say, or whatever. Like Cleopatra, okay, that was just one of 1,000 lifetimes that spirit lived. Why would it identify any more with Cleopatra than when it was Frank or when it was, you know, Chung Fat Ho Yun over there in China one time? You know what I mean? Like, why? Because when they were that one person. Same with, like, pick any star, like Charlie Chaplin. Maybe Charlie Chaplin by now has reincarnated. You know what I mean? So now, why would, you know, when Charlie Chaplin crossed back over, though, and went back into pure spirit form, why would the lifetime of Charlie Chaplin be any more significant than 999 other lifetimes that spirit had experienced? You know what I mean? Why focus on that? So I'm not worried at all about. I'm looking forward because, you know, I got a lemon. I got a lemon for a vehicle this lifetime. And next time I'm going to kick the tires a little harder and stuff and pick a better vehicle. But I look forward to it's like Chris to my the lifetime of Chris me. Is like a drop of water is to my soul's experiences, okay? Like a drop of water is to a low ocean. It's just one little piece, one little drip. That's all.
And I'm not sure who said this, but there's a song by Sheila Chandra, who I love, and it's The Ocean Refuses No River. So we are all part of that ocean. You know what I mean? All of us. And very beautiful song. I gotta get that and upload it. Anyways, okay, so we're going to start taking calls because we got a few people on hold here, and I appreciate you guys holding on. We're going to play a song 222. Oh, I'm sorry. No, I'm going to play 348, I think. Brian Mathis, Wild Heart, and we'll be right back after this. Thanks for hanging in there, you guys. Brian Mathis, Wild Heart. And you can find Brian Mathis at bandcamp.com. I'm not sure when you spell his name, I put it in the chat room, M-A-T-Y-S. So check him out. He's got a bunch of great songs. And, okay, so tonight we are speaking with psychic reader Chris Valerie. And we come back...
You don't have to really say the word psychic. Let's say intuitive.
Okay.
I don't know why it bugs me to have that word psychic. I mean, I did get a certificate for it and everything, but that doesn't mean that's not worth the paper it's written on to me. You know what I mean?
Okay, well, let's see what we can do for Melvina.
Okay.
She's the first caller here. Hi, Melvina.
Hi.
How are you?
I'm good, thank you.
Good. So what can Chris help you with?
First of all, I want to ask you, like, is there somebody that's just really irritating and grating on your last nerve, and you just have kept your mouth quiet about it, but it's just driving you to the end of the, you know what I mean, to the end of your rope?
I have a friend, she's a Gemini, and she has the best heart in the world, but then there's sometimes that there's things that she says that drive me absolutely insane, and I never say anything.
Right. Okay, so that's good. That's a good validation for me, because, you know, before the show, I wrote that down. First caller. Someone is irritating you and you don't want to say something about it. I would always encourage people to find a time, not on the moment when it's happened, you know what I mean? But at a time when things are easy and casual, and just like when you feel right about it, just to like broach it gently, you know? And but it's never good to just keep something stuffed and stuffed and stuffed, because one day you will explode.
Yeah, I know. And that is my personality.
So anyway, what will you call? And do you know a Jacob?
I don't.
Okay.
I know absolutely no Jacob.
Good. Okay, that's fine. We think we found one of the Jacobs anyways, but it doesn't matter. So what were you calling for?
The reason I'm calling is I was let go from my job last week, and I was wondering how quickly do you see me getting a new job? I've been sending out resumes, and I feel like something's going to come up very soon. I'm just curious for validation from you guys, what you see.
I don't think it's going to take you all that long. You might not wind up with your dream job right up front. If I were you, I would be looking for a company that you want to work with. Like, okay, if I were you, I would like apply at places you really want to work, and not so much for the particular job, because you can work your way into the desired job. But better to take a job like at a place where I really want to work at that place. You know what I mean? And then and then work your way into the right job. You know what I mean? Because you could go after like the exact right job and time after again, and it's at a horrible place you hate working at or something like this. But if there's a place in your mind, is there a place in your mind where you're like, I really would love to work at that place. And don't be afraid to take like a lower level job to get in, to get put in the door, and then work your way into where you want to be. So I don't think it's going to take you too long. Because I also had written down for you, like that there would be like careful with words and actions with a tough time with a supervisor or a coworker at work. And so is this what led to you already leaving this last job, or?
Yes, I'm a special ed teacher, and that's the reason why the teacher before me left. It was a very hostile, negative situation. I walked right into it, and it's basically all the issues were being blamed on me, and I was just there for my kids, and I wasn't happy there at all.
Yeah. Okay. Well, then the thing that I wrote down isn't, you know, like, then that's good. That's what you're coming out of. And but again, you know, like, just may, if you run, if you take this new job, and if up front you're having a little struggle with a coworker or a supervisor, ride it out and just pay attention to your conduct in their presence. Remain above reproach, and don't worry about it. You'll overcome that, and then your results, your work will, what's the word I'm looking for, will like speak for themselves. You don't need to get into like a battle of the words or pissing matches with anybody. Just let the let your own work ethic and your own work results speak for you.
Right. Yeah. And if you're doing what's, Melvin, I will add to that, if you're doing what's really in your heart, it will come to you. You know what I mean?
Yes.
It sounds like you really like your job, you know?
Yeah, I mean, my kids are amazing. It's just the people that I work with made it extremely difficult to do what I was supposed to do every day.
Mm-hmm.
Right.
That was the only sad part about it.
Is there, can I just ask, is there a school around you that begins with an A name?
The school's really, I mean, for us it's just PS, public school, and then there's a number.
Okay.
It's more
I'm
numbers
thinking
for
maybe,
me.
Yeah. I'm thinking it's more of a private type of school, like a, not a public thing. It's like more like private.
Okay.
Yeah.
Are you only, are you exclusively going to be applying for the same type of job in a school?
I mean, that's what my degrees are in. I'm a licensed teacher. That's all I know how to do.
Yeah.
And
I'm just thinking like that. There's you know, there's ways. Okay, let me throw this by you, okay?
Okay.
So the first thing is that you're a teacher, okay? And and in this very specialized area, right?
Yes.
And so you could also look at teaching those who would teach, teaching those who would do what you do. So be a teacher for the teachers.
I don't know if I could be a professor.
Don't count yourself out. And there's other, I don't know, you know, like it just, it doesn't have to be as, I don't know much about this, but a school wouldn't be the only employer of somebody who can, who works with special needs kids, right?
I mean, there's definitely other options, and I've been checking all the websites, and definitely just I've been trying to send out as many resumes to the schools nearby. Mm-hmm. So I know something good will come. I have such a bad experience for the past 6 months that I know something good has to come of it.
Mm-hmm.
Right,
okay.
Right.
Is in a school division or in a state, I don't know how your guys' school systems work, right? But would there be like a person employed that would be, that would sort of be the coordinator of all of the special needs in the region? You know what I mean?
Yeah, there's definitely options other than being a teacher.
Right.
And I am looking at everything.
Okay. That's all I'm trying to say to you.
Yeah.
Okay.
Okay.
It may, so, I mean, I leave it up to you, but don't be surprised if you don't wind up, and clearly right now, if all you're going to go for are the teacher roles, and that's what you're going to get next job, but don't be surprised if you don't wind up, I think that you're going to, how long have you been doing this?
About 8 years, I think.
Okay, so long enough that you have. And has most of that been all at one place?
No, it's been a couple of different schools.
And is it similar problems each time?
Oh, no.
No?
This
okay.
Is, this is the first time that I encountered such a situation.
Hostile environment.
That's why the teacher before me left, and I basically just stepped into the same issues while she left.
Gotcha.
Okay, well, I wish you good luck. I don't think it's going to be too long for you, though, before you find work.
All right, thank you.
And good luck.
Thanks, Malvina.
Thanks for calling.
Thank you.
Okay.
Okay, and next we have Amanda. Oops. Ooh, shoot, hold on. I'm sorry. Wait a minute. Amanda.
Hello?
Hey.
Hi. Thank you so much for taking my call.
Sure.
So my question is, I guess I've got a living situation that's going to change in the coming new year. And I'm just wondering if I should stay in the area and try to make it work, or if I should be looking outside of the area and take a move.
Ah, okay, then you're the caller for that one, because one of the other things that came to me before the show started was that somebody's going to call. Now, this part isn't, you know, this isn't rough, but I mean, like, it's interesting to me that these are the only two things that I had beforehand, which was, you know, the first caller with the person that's irritating and blah, 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 and to be careful what you're saying at work or whatever. And then the next one was like somebody is talking about moving. I'm saying absolutely yes, you're going to be moving. It's going to be a successful move. And I don't ask me where you're moving to, though. So it's not my department. It's not my department to say where.
Well, does the town... Is there a town around you called Harris something?
Possibly an H. Harris isn't ringing a bell.
Okay.
But
I just thought, I don't know why it's out of Harrisburg. I don't even know where you are located, but anyways.
There is a Harrisonburg, but that's pretty far from me. My family's all over the place, and I'm just wondering if I'm pretty far from them at this time, and, you know, and having this living situation changing, I'm wondering if I should, you know, maybe get closer to them or.
I kind of agree with what Chris put out there, is that it would be a good thing, you know?
Okay. Okay. Well, good to know.
And like, would you be looking to buy a house when you're moving or renting?
Renting.
Okay, renting. I have like just to say, like, I don't know what your life situation is, but I have some idea that you're going to be in the next year and a half or so buying a house.
Okay.
Oh. You're going to move. You're going to move, and it's going to go well, meaning that you're going to have employment or whatever that will sustain you there, and you're going to buy a house in the next year and a half.
Okay, that's going to be great.
Yeah, it would.
Yeah, I mean, I'm actually in the Bay Area right now, and it's obviously financially extremely difficult to live here.
Well, you're going to be the one, people would call my show, like when I'm just being the button pusher or whatever, like I'm all like, when are you going to move? When are you going to pack? You know what I mean? Like, when you pack, you're going to move. And so I often will tell somebody who's like for the longest time, they're like, oh, I want to move. I'm like, start packing. Like, even if you get a couple of boxes of things packed and have those boxes there right in your face, you know, where you're like, that puts your consciousness in move mode. You know what I mean? Like, I'm moving. And you're taking steps and actions towards doing it. It's great to think about it. Oh, you could think about it for the next 50 years. But until you put action to the plan, there's nothing, you know? So,
Totally.
Yeah.
Yeah.
But I wouldn't think it would be much longer than a couple of months before you're moved. And then, like I said, I'm thinking in a year and a half or so, you're going to be looking at buying a house.
That's great. Oh, wonderful. Yeah. I really appreciate your insight.
So let us know, though. Somehow find us and let us know, okay?
I will. I definitely follow you both, so I will.
Okay. Thanks,
okay.
Miranda.
Thank you.
Thank you.
Thank you.
Okay.
Bye.
Okay, so the next caller, I'm not sure who this is. I'm going to try and hope it's not a troll.
No,
Skype caller.
It is I, who is very interested in the topic at hand. How are both of you this evening?
Okay.
How are you? What's the topic? I missed the topic.
Well, from what I read on the page, you all were talking about, you all were going to talk about, if even if you missed it, we'll get back on topic. The fact of life, the interim of, you know, you're here and you're going into the other realm. That was what I thought I read.
Yeah, no, you read right. You read right, indeed.
And I have a friend, a very close friend, who is in the process of, she's in that space. And she's a very magical, of course she's my friend, magical, spiritual, mystical, creative, I have not been able to be with her on the physical, but because of that, it has opened me up to other ways of making that connection and journeying with her anyway. And she's quite a dreamer. You know, we visit in dream times from time to time, and she's definitely a dreamer. And I just wanted to put that out there to see what you all got around it. And I'm also watching the process of those who she knew she was going quite a while ago, and she eliminated a lot of people on her Facebook account. She gathered together those who really were interested in her, opposed to those who might buy some of her art or for whatever reason. And I'm watching now the process of how we are gathering together. Some never met her, and those who knew her in person and have been touched by her, you know, have been able to touch her physically and spiritually, and how the process, how it is being so artfully and craftily and creatively, how it is flowing. It is so, what I am having the pleasure of experience is, I'm in bliss.
This goes right along with my whole thought of, you know, that these major events, like we all, the meaningful people, like even if it's for a short-term period, but the meaningful people in our lives that we're going to be interacting with are kind of meant to be, and things will happen to pull us together, you know what I mean? And then when it's time to move on, then things will happen that will bring about that also. But so for me, it's like this new group of people assembling around this person and this and that. Like, to me, that's the synergy that I'm often talking about, like this magnet, almost like a magnet that pulls the people in when at the time that they're needed, you know. And when we come into a situation like this, it's not always just for us to be helping that person, because we receive some benefit from that interaction as well, from that experience. And so it's a kind of a win-win sort of situation. But like I just feel like that, you know, it's like, you know, it was like always going to be this way, Queen. It was always going to be this way for this situation.
I heard that. It's beautiful. It's really beautiful. It's like, well, okay, I was placed in this situation where I couldn't be there with her, but it didn't matter. It didn't matter because I'm so far beyond being restricted by anyone or anything, mm-hmm. even though it might appear that way. And it's just, it's beautiful. I know she will come to visit me soon, beyond now.
Yeah.
And come back with some information, some serious information.
Well,
you know,
there you go. That's what I'm talking about, right? I mean, that would be the coup de grace. That would be awesome. And but in a way, that's almost like the, you know, a relationship I had with my grandmother all my life. Like, I didn't, it was never in person, but yet I feel like I know that woman so well and that we're so close, you know? And we were never together but for one day. And, you know, but yet there was just this, when I was a young kid, I would write letters to her that would never be mailed, you know what I mean? But I was writing letters to her. In that way, I believe that I was psychically communicating with her, and she was receiving those letters by telepathy rather than by mailmen, you know? And so that sounds like you're having a similar interaction, you know, with this person.
Oh, without a doubt, because she's potent. And there was a picture she had taken when I was at her home 3, 4, 5 years ago that at the time she put it on Facebook. I said, I don't put that on there because it wasn't particularly a shot that I wanted on there at that time. But she called it capturing energy. And I went through her photographs today, and she had quite a few photographs. And I found the picture, and I looked at it from a different perspective. And when I looked at it and I put it on, I saw the energy, I saw what she saw, but then I saw the art that was around me, that was her art, that I saw me, what I said was, I'm giving you back energy that was gathered at your house, I'm sending it back to you. But then I saw like her paintings going into my hand and my hands going into them, and her clay sculptures, you know, like the chart, you know, like, boom, the energy being transferred as well. And that's a whole nother level of it's deep. It's real deep. And knowing that she's not gone. But with all that said, what are you all feeling? Can you all see, because she'll be open to communication, now, what if anything, or nothing, it's all good.
I missed your very first part of somebody was PMing me. Did you say she's still with us, but is going to be crossing at some point, probably soon, or?
Very soon. She's crossing.
Yeah,
she's in the crossing. She's in the crossroads, so to speak.
Yeah.
She's in the crossroads, yes.
Yeah. And your question is specifically, are you going to be in, like, I mean, I think you already are anyway, whether what you're remembering or not remembering, you know, from the actual interactions that you're having. But I mean, is your
question
like, was she gonna? How quick is she gonna come to me once she crosses, or what? What is your question?
Well, that's not the question, because like you said, I know she's with me. The question is there anything being said from her beyond what I've already grasped, and I've grasped a lot. I've grasped a lot. She and I similarly have the capacity of. We're empaths and taking things in and working with them, mixing them into our essence. Mm.
Well, I think that if there's stuff that has been downloaded to you, for lack of a better way to say it, that more than you're aware of right now, that's like time released, if you will. Okay, so
that works.
Yeah, so that as you need it, it will come to you. It's there already, but as you need it, you'll be able to access it at that time. That's what I think.
That's acceptable.
Yeah.
That's appreciated.
Yeah, that's really cool, Chris.
And the opportunity to even been able to express it, because you all gave me the platform by your show topic.
Mm-hmm.
And... you know, the timing, perfect. I was so happy when I read it to be able to come forward with this And even as I'm talking, speaking, oh, see, there she is. I'm filled. I said, Bliss, I'm filled. I'm filled with being a part of this. There was another experience I had with someone very close to me, and I went. She was an elder, and I went into her. She was laying, I'm going to say, like defined as a coma, and she looked. She was always pretty, but she looked so beautiful. She looked so peaceful, and it was like, and her family was there, and I'd forgotten it. And her family was there, and they were, like, distraught. But I was able to bring them together, hold their hands, and help bring a calming energy, which I totally had forgotten. And she got more beautiful in her body. As she was leaving her body got more beautiful. She was, like, 80-something. And witnessing that, oh, my goodness, boy, am I out there now. Thank y'all for the time and the space and the place to speak my experience.
Thank you, Queen, very much.
Oh, you're welcome.
Thanks, Queen.
You're welcome.
All right. Peace out.
Peace in.
Okay, good night. Okay, that was a beautiful story. Okay, so next we got to move fast here because the show ends in just under whatever minutes. But, you know, I think we could take maybe one or two calls after. So let's take Jennifer. Hi, Jennifer.
Hello.
How's it going? Yeah.
Hi,
job.
How are you?
Job. Hello, Jennifer. How's it going? What's up?
Hi. So my brother recently passed away about 2 years ago, and I was just wondering, because I feel like I really never got closure from that, and I was just wondering if you can help me, because I've been going through a lot of depression.
Okay, so first of all, we'll take the non-medium route here for a minute, okay? The closure... Now, so what, you have unresolved issues? Was there a fight before the end, or, like, what's the deal?
I wouldn't say, like, a fight. I just feel like we never got to have the, like, brother, like, the ideal brother and sister relationship that we were working towards.
Uh-huh.
And it just came, like, all of a sudden. Like, it wasn't really, like, it wasn't a death that, like, we were expecting. It was just... It kind of just happened out of nowhere, you know.
So take heart in the fact that you were working towards an improved relationship with your brother, as was he, and that whatever issues pre-existed before that, like, are certainly not present for him at this point in time. Since you were both working towards, you know, making things, having whatever you call it, because I don't really even know what a proper brother and sister relationship is supposed to mean, you know what I mean? Because everybody has their own unique relationship with their siblings, you know? I come from the school of thought that is everything is as it's meant to be. The beautiful thing is that you recognized and were both working towards having a better relationship, and that can be continuing now. I don't think that you need to, now, I will always say to somebody, like, put the shoes on the other foot, okay? And so, let's say that you were the one that suddenly died, okay? Would you want your brother to be having all this turmoil and guilt, or, of course not, which means, Jennifer, he doesn't want you to either. And so you will not be honoring his life or death by lingering in some guilt or remorsefulness over what wasn't. Rather, you know, look at what was, what you were doing, what was positive, and know that that there's nothing left to, unless it's on your end, there's nothing left to forgive or anything else. He's cool, you know what I mean? And he doesn't want to see you beating yourself up or sad because of what wasn't, or because, you know, you go get what will be. Worry about what will be.
Mm-hmm.
not what wasn't, because mm-hmm. it's done. You know what I mean? There's nothing more that can be done there. You can continue to talk to your brother in your mind or quietly by yourself in an empty room, preferably not, you know, when there's authorities around who will haul you off to a crazy farm. But, you know, and just like in your heart, you know, like send your heart love to your brother and he'll receive that. And he knows it already anyway. And perhaps you'll feel it come right back at you. Like, I know that you wouldn't want your brother beating himself up if the shoes were reversed. So clearly you can understand how your brother wouldn't be happy for your sadness. He would be happy with your happiness. You know, and it's not dishonoring our loved ones when we move forward and try and find joy in the absence of them. It's not. Too many people get it in their mind like that they're disrespecting or that they're show that it would be a signal that they didn't care enough if they can go out and have fun. Mm-hmm. 2 years is 2 years long enough, Jennifer. You know what I mean?
And I
would say, can I also say, Jennifer, is this the main reason you're depressed? Is because of the loss of your brother?
Think so. I mean, I feel like ever since he passed away, I've kind of just been like scared to live my life the same way. And I don't know, I've just kind of like held back from like doing, I don't know, I'm just like scared of, I don't know. I don't really know how to explain it.
Okay. You know, some people, and I'm not saying that you're doing this, but some people, like my own sister, will not allow herself to get over the death of my mother. And she holds on to that as the reason that she's depressed. But your brother did a great job. I think your brother was really successful in whatever he did. Was he?
I mean, he was a happy person.
Yeah. And he, you know, you really looked up to him. You know what I mean? And so, do you think that let's pretend for a second. Let's pretend your brother is standing right next to you right now, which he probably is, by the way. And he hugs you, and he says, Jennifer, I love you, and I want you to live a full life. Because this is exactly what he would say if you could hear him. He wants you to live a full life, you know? And there comes a time in all of our lives, I don't care who you are, when you do, and I say this all the time, this quote, you have to keep an open heart, even in hell. And when you open your heart and you open your arms, you know what I mean? That is how we all have to live that way. You've got to trust Jennifer that you, that your brother is there with you. He never died. You're not ever going to die. We simply move on. There's nothing to be sorrowful about except the missing of him on a day-to-day basis. But you will see him again. In the meantime, you have to continue living. You have to continue opening your heart. You know what I mean?
In the Cree,
you know, I'm a part Cree, and you know, in many indigenous cultures, beliefs if you mourn and continue to mourn so long, you're at higher risk of keeping the spirit from moving on, you know, and some will say even earthbound, you know, and so, you know, is that. If you can give yourself, if you're waiting, like your brother expects you to, you know, go and enjoy something out of each day. And, you know, if you're going to think about your brother, think about the good things, you know, not what you missed. Think about what you did. Think about, think about the funny jokes or the little, you know, things that would make you guys laugh, you know, and your brother, and so give yourself, your brother's permission is there. It's only awaiting your permission Okay. So
yes.
For the longer you delay this, the you know, and people will get mad at me for saying this, but I'm going to say it anyway. Okay. Is
mm-hmm.
that the longer you wait to move forward with your life using your brother's death as the reason, the more disappointed that he would actually probably be, you know, or sad,
yeah.
or sad, maybe
yeah.
not disappointed, but sad.
Oh, yeah, it doesn't, yeah, that's what I heard too, Chris, you know.
Okay.
So don't,
and,
make sure that you're not using, make sure that you're not using his death as any kind of an excuse to stay stuck. Use it as
okay.
a motivation to go and, like, here, let's go do this. Now you can come with me everywhere I go.
No
brother.
Kidding, yeah.
Now you
and
can
Abla,
everywhere.
Right, Abla, who's a psychic medium, is in the chat room, and she's chiming in with us, and she's saying, your brother's more alive than he's ever been. You know what I mean?
Really?
And
yeah.
I totally, I really completely believe that. You know, you're not here to suffer, Jennifer. You're not here to mourn.
Mm-hmm.
You know, and it's
yeah.
it's hard to
yeah.
be strong sometimes, but man, you can do it. You're beautiful, beautiful. You can do this, you know?
Yeah.
So find a little strategy that when you find yourself becoming sad on a daily basis,
yeah.
However many times a day it is, and your thoughts drift to sadness because he's gone, is put up
mm-hmm.
a stop sign in your head. And swap out that sadness with a happy memory, okay? Even if
right,
you
yeah.
keep a picture with you of a time when you two are together laughing, I don't know, camping or play out somewhere, wherever it is, okay? Or at a party, whatever it is, okay? Even if it's
uh-huh.
when you're kids or whatever. Do you have a picture where the both of you are laughing?
Yeah.
Yes. So keep that, get that picture and keep it near you. If you're on the road a lot or out and about a lot, keep it like in your wallet or your purse. Or if it's in your, if you spend a lot of time in your car, keep it handy in your car. When you find yourself thinking about sadness in relation to his being gone, look at that picture, stop yourself, look at that picture and think of happy. Okay? That's
okay.
the best
yeah.
the best thing idea I have right now for you. But you got to do
yeah.
it.
All right.
Okay.
Yeah, yeah. I mean, really, I mean, I think all of us, because there's a lot of excellent people in the chat right now that are intuitive and psychic, and they're all saying, you know, that that's the best thing you can do for your brother as a gift to him is to move on and be happy in his spirit, because he was happy, you know?
Try. Do you live somewhere where you can have a bath? Yeah.
Yeah.
Okay. So get and do you have some ginger powder or fresh ginger?
No.
Okay. Get some. Okay. Either ginger
okay.
powder, just in the cooking
uh-huh.
section, or get some thing of fresh ginger. Get a big thing of fresh ginger and go with about a half a cup of half a cup of like minced ginger. Put it onto the
uh-huh.
stove in some water and bring it to a boil and then turn it off and let it just steep there for a bit. Run the bath, then take the
uh-huh.
take the ginger water and pour it into your bath and
uh-huh.
go into that bath. It serves two purposes, one of which is to help detox the body and the second of
uh-huh.
which is brilliant for relieving depression.
Okay, that's good to know.
Yeah.
Do you think I'll ever be able to talk to him again or see him again?
Yes.
In your dreams. In your dreams, probably easiest way. And you probably are already, but you're not just having the memory of it. So every night before you go to bed, if this is something that you want,
if you
pray to God or whoever you pray to or wherever your thoughts go right before you go to sleep, ask the universe or God or the angels or whoever it is that you, whatever it is you believe in, okay? Ask them and your brother to meet in your dreams or on the astral plane and then ask that you be gifted with the ability to remember it.
Okay.
Yeah.
Okay?
Yeah.
Right.
His name wasn't John, was it, Jennifer?
No.
Okay, good. Sorry, I'm just testing myself. All right.
Yeah.
I wondered if there was a Johnny in your life, you know?
Yeah, I mean, I have a friend named John.
Yeah, no, I don't. Yeah. I don't. I just thought, you know, your brother. I don't know. I just, you know, I just see your brother is totally with you, and you know, he doesn't want to see you like this. That's what I'm saying, you know.
Okay.
All right. But Jennifer, you will be able to talk to him. Yeah.
Okay.
And like Chris said, just ask him before you go to bed. Like, let me allow me to John to come talk to me tonight, and allow me to remember this in the morning when I get up.
Okay.
All right, sweetheart. You'll be okay. Believe me. Trust me. Okay.
Okay. Thank you.
All right, Jennifer. Take it easy. Give yourself permission. Right. See, what I haven't felt though, Jennifer, yet, is the shift in your energy. And I had hoped that before this call was over that I would have felt some slight easing up of that and a lighter feeling with you. So work on that for tonight if you could. I give you permission. God gives you permission. Everybody gives you permission. You just need to give yourself permission to allow yourself to release this, okay? And you can still have a relationship with your brother in spirit, okay?
Okay.
See, now I felt it. I felt it right there. I felt the slight shift right there. Okay.
Good.
You are now, you Thank now you. Have permission to leave.
Okay, Jennifer, take it easy. Keep in touch, okay?
Okay, thank you.
All right, take care.
And you're welcome.
She like well, I wanted to feel that, and she did. Like she,
yeah.
I felt that little shift right there near the end, and then she even laughed a little bit. So,
you're right.
You go.
We don't give ourselves permission to heal. You know what I mean? And that's what it's all about, really. Now I know you have to go. Can you squeeze one more? Now you know how your people feel.
Well, we can try a quickie. Let's see what we got. What do we got?
Okay, let's see. Well, I'm not. Well, okay. So we've got Teresa. Hey, Teresa.
Hi, Corrine. Hi, Chris. How are you?
Good. You?
Good.
Great.
Thanks for hanging in there.
Yeah, I was just calling to support Chris. You're just doing such a phenomenal job, and I'm so glad that you're on the radio doing this. And you know, it's the other way around.
I know, mm-hmm. right?
Yeah.
It's different, like, you know what I mean? It's a little bit different. But so thank you for that. Thank you for that.
Yeah. Yeah. Well, thank you for, like, being brave and stepping out, because I think, like, your courage has kind of encouraged me,
uh-huh.
if that makes
mm-hmm.
sense, by you
yeah.
stepping out, that I'm
uh-huh.
like, well, wait a minute.
Uh-huh.
She's going to step out. I'm going to step out, too,
mm-hmm.
in many ways. You know what
good.
I'm saying?
That's good. That's good. Well, I challenge everybody. Yeah.
Yeah. So I just want to
Teresa.
Say that you really inspired me. Yeah.
Oh, that's awesome. Excellent. Thank you.
Are you sure you don't have a question that you want to ask?
You know, Chris, if you're getting anything from Spirit, you know, pass along. If not, that's good, too.
Okay, hang on. And so I just had the name George. And does that name mean anything to you at all, George?
Yeah, it does.
Okay.
It does.
Okay. It's sometimes easier when they say no, because then I don't have to worry about the rest of it. You know what I mean? Shit. Okay.
Well, let me just tell you this. George isn't a code name that me and my friends all used for something very specific.
Oh.
Oh.
Yeah. We used George as a code name. It was our cycle.
Oh, my God.
Yeah,
okay.
That's what we would call it. And one of my friends, as a matter of fact, I don't know, texted me a couple days ago and said something about George. I just started cracking up. I'm like, I can't believe this has continued.
Okay, so now I'm going to carry that forward then with, are we coming into a new moon anytime now?
We're coming into a full moon soon.
Into a full moon?
Mm-hmm.
Okay, so then... So there's something about this full moon for you then. It has to be. That has to be happening. And so do, you know, redouble your effort, whatever you do with a full moon personally. And if you don't, then start. But there, so something, okay, let me, okay. So then there's going to be some, okay, what I will feel about this then is that there's going to be some significant shift or change for you coming with the full moon. You could help it along by doing the releasing or whatever it is we do during that full moon cycle, right, and doing whatever else you do. But I think that whether you do or don't do that, there's something is going to shift in for you here. And there's going to be some change. I don't think it's going to be a bad change at all. You know what I mean? And
yeah.
So there's some big thing is going to shift. Some block is going to be removed. A barrier is going to be removed. Or some brilliant new idea is going to come. Or some great new endeavor, some new project, some new journey with friends, or, you know, just something meaningful is going to, but it's going to be in conjunction with this full moon. That's what I'm going to say.
Wow,
and,
that
and
is
I
phenomenal.
Want, yeah, and I want to say, Teresa, that there's a club sometimes that you go to in your area, and I know your heritage, but to me it is kind of like an Italian club where, I mean, but you... I mean, maybe you've gone there once or twice or something. But there's what I'm saying is, do you know a guy named Al?
Not as of yet. I mean, I can't place him maybe in the past.
Okay, well, I don't know. I see you meeting a guy, and the reason I think that his name is Al is because I'm thinking of this family that I know, and they're Italian, and one of the boys' name is Al, and the other one, wait a minute, Alphonse and Arthur. So that's why I'm thinking Al. But anyways, I'm saying, like, I see this guy, he's got a golf shirt on, he's got a nice watch on his wrist, but somebody who kind of takes a shine to you, you know what I mean?
Yeah.
So maybe that's what's coming with the new moon, you know. Is there a club that you go to around there?
No, not really, but there's like a lot of restaurants right on the water and different places that sometimes me and my friends hang out.
Okay.
But I wouldn't say there's like one specific one there's a lot of...
Okay, like little meeting places, sort of. Those would be the restaurants, I guess, right? But
yeah.
I see the guy with a white golf shirt on, and he's got, like I said, a nice watch on his wrist, and his short hair, peppery. I don't know. You got to let me know if this comes to pass, you know?
I will. I will definitely let you know if it comes to pass. Yeah, interesting. And Chris, I can't believe you picked George up with the cycle and that all went together. That was amazing to me. Isn't it hysterical how that came together? I'm like, well,
yeah,
what do I think
course,
when
I
she
only
says
take credit
George?
For George. I didn't know that it wasn't relating to a person or something, although I wasn't getting anything. Like, I was asking myself, okay, who is George? Like, and I wasn't getting anything. Like, you know what I mean? Like, I wasn't getting anything. And so that's good,
see,
actually.
That's why I had to tell you, because I'm thinking to myself, this is what this is relating to.
Yeah.
And I'm like, it because my friend just texted me the other day something about it. And like I said, I just cracked up. I was like, oh, my God, we're still calling it this.
Yeah, that's funny. Cool. All right.
Well, thank you, ladies. I know you're running and have to be off, but, oh, what a great show. Thank you both.
Thanks,
oh,
Teresa.
Thank you, Teresa. Thank you. Okay, so, and everyone else, sorry we didn't get to everyone's calls, but next time
call
we will.
Call Curious Times in 20 minutes, because I'll be on the
oh,
air.
Oh, yeah, that's
Jen.
Right. Curious Times will be on in 20 minutes, you guys. That's 10 p.m. Eastern Standard Time. The guest is Jen Young, a fantastic psychic medium. Are you doing readings tonight, Chris?
I think so. I can't imagine that we'd have 2 hours of something to talk about. So we'll do some readings.
Okay. Okay, cool.
Okay.
So you guys, I'll see you over there. And Chris, thank you so much for being my guest tonight. I think you were phenomenal.
Problem. Thanks for having me, Karina. I appreciate it.
Oh, you're welcome. You're welcome. Okay, you guys, I'll see you next time, whenever the show is. I can't remember, but I'll let you know. Meanwhile, take it easy, you guys, and I'll see you soon.
Peace out.
Living hell of another world.
Step out of the world you see.
You do not respond.
The Supernatural Radio Show. Open up your mind.
We programmed your brain.
The Supernatural Radio Show.
You must learn to obey.
Brought to you by PurplePlates.com for harmony, healing, and living energy products for a greater quality of life. The Supernatural Radio Show.